when God speaks to me, how about you? And I love it especially when he answers my prayer, speaking to me what he wants to speak to you. Because he's concerned with us, where we're at, our everyday lives, and he wants the word to nourish us. Amen? And so I take it seriously. I don't just preach a canned message. I don't go online to find somebody's famous sermon. I always sit before the Lord. You need to know that. And ask him, what is the word for your people? And so if you recall, the last 2 weeks, I gave an introduction of sort on purpose, on God's purpose. I know God is going to expand upon that in the coming weeks and the coming months. God's purpose for our lives and for his church. And the word was entitled, Turning the Page. The idea being, I saw the vision of a book and the pages were flipping in the wind under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And God was breathing. And when God breathes, something happens. And so I was excited about that, but even in the midst of that, he spoke to me another word related to it. And I mentioned that last week I heard the words royal flush. And I went online to see what else I could find about that, and usually it refers to plumbing companies or such things like this, and of course it refers to the highest possible hand you can get in the card game of poker. But God wasn't speaking about those things when he said that to me. He is orchestrating something in his kingdom plan and purposes for me, for all of us, and for his church universal as well, both locally and worldwide. And as we move forward, as God brings us and leads us forward into the new, he will be removing obstacles that have been impeding the way, and he's going to begin to accelerate. You know, when God puts his foot on the pedal, there's no stopping it. When he says it's time to step things up a notch, he wants us to stay in step with him as well. And I believe this is the season and the time that we're in. And so when that's kind of the sense of those two words, royal flush. And so the title is obviously royal flush or preparing the way, because that's what God is about. He doesn't just lead us into something and then we have to flounder around and figure everything out. He goes before us. He prepares the way for us. And he anoints his way for us every step of the way. And so obviously we probably all of you know that word royal means kingly or sovereign. But I found some interesting things when I looked up the word flush. And I think it will embellish what God is saying and help us to understand in a better way what God is trying to say to us today. So, flush means to cleanse something. A sudden rush of intense emotion. To remove or dispose of an obstacle or a substance by flushing, obviously. To drive from its cover. In the sense of when something is in hiding, you flush it out. And God is very good at that. When something is hidden or covered, God will flush it out at his ordained time and in his way. To cause to be revealed, to force into the open, and finally, to send out fresh shoots. I love that one. And that's really what God is going to be doing in this season, is he's going to be causing growth in his body. And his body is you and I. And so he doesn't want us to be left behind. He wants us to stay in step with where he's going and what he wants to do. And so as he's preparing the way, it's up to us to pay attention and to partner with him. So number one, how do we do this? You know, you'd say, how can I stay in step with God? I don't know. He gives us the grace to do it. And first and foremost is to listen and obey his voice. I'm going to read the scripture and then we're going to start. Hebrews 12, verses 25 to 29. That section in the Bible is called the unshaken or unshakable kingdom, God's kingdom. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those who did not escape when they refused him, who warned from them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So, yes, God is preparing the way, but he expects us to move into that which he opens up and to walk into and walk with him into our destiny. And so the first way is to listen and obey his voice from verse 25 there, which reads, do not refuse him who is speaking. You know, I think we sometimes get selectively hard of hearing. Are you with me this morning? You get so involved in the issues of life and the things of life and the conflicts of life. God is always speaking even in those things. Yet somehow we get tunnel vision and we don't hear him. He wants us to have a hearing ear. And that word for do not refuse actually is translated elsewhere there as make excuses. Don't make excuses to him who's speaking. Very sobering, isn't it? We need to recognize and discern the voice of the Lord in the confusion, in the upheaval, in the noise, the lies and deception that we face, whether it's the bombardment from the media or whatever, the news, social media, and so forth. You have to take it to the Lord in prayer. You have to discern the voice of the Lord in the midst of all that we're hearing and all that comes our way. it's called devoting ourselves to Him, serving Him with a pure heart. And so 2 Timothy 2:23 written is it this way, that word refuse. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. And I see this in my limited time on social media, especially with politics. Someone throws out a zinger, and I see Christians engaging in a fight. You don't have to engage in a fight. You have to stand in the truth, period. You don't have to defend your decision, or you don't have to defend being why you are a Christian. At some point, yes, that's appropriate, but not on social media, because it only leads to unprofitable quarrels. The Passion renders it this way: stay away from all the foolish arguments of the immature, for these disputes will only generate more conflict. And I believe that's true. I've seen it time and again. You know, sometimes the hardest thing to do is this. This unruly member here wants to speak what it wants to speak. And usually, it doesn't bear good fruit. Have you found that to be true? I think that was an amen. So it also says there in verse 25 in our text, Hebrews 12, turning away from him who warns. We need to turn to him, not from him, especially when we're confused or we're at a loss. You know, our ways are not his ways, the Bible says, and our thoughts are not his thoughts. So we have to zero in on what do you think about this? What do you say about this, Lord? That's what's important. Turn to him. Hebrews 3:12. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. We have to guard ourselves. It's easy to stray. All of us, myself included, I'm putting myself right there in that position as well. Delayed obedience is sin and rebellion. So when you know the Lord is speaking something, you don't have to pray about it. You don't say, oh, I'm going to pray about this. No. You know his voice. He speaks to each one of us individually. In a way, we know it's him. So, no excuses allowed. Even as that popular song says, no exception to the rule. That's what God's expectation is. That not only do we listen, but then we respond in obedience. So, don't harden your heart. Hebrews 3:15, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So we need to listen and respond to his voice according to the principle of Matthew 7:7, which specifically talks about prayer, but it speaks to this attitude. Ask and you shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. It's okay that you don't always have the answers. God knows that you're not going to. But you know the one who does have the answers, and it's up to you. It's your responsibility to bring it to him and find out from him the answers that you need. Listen and obey. Secondly, in partnering with him as he prepares the way, rely on his strength from verse 26 in our text. Yet once more I will shake, the scripture says. Is there any doubt in your mind that everything around us is being shaken? There's a great shaking, a wholesale shaking, economically, governmentally, his church, local, national, worldwide. God is shaking things up. You can say it's the devil, but God's allowing it. And God will use this shaking that we're experiencing if we respond appropriately, especially, to lead us, to guide us, to prepare us to walk into what's going to lie ahead. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, the scripture says, but we do know him. And it's up to us to come to him and rely on his strength to face tomorrow. His eye is on his church, and his eye is on his bride. He was speaking to me yesterday. Sometimes, as the expression goes, the heavens are brass. We pray, we don't feel God's presence, so we think God's on a coffee break. That's how we act sometimes. Or God doesn't care. Simply not so. God spoke to me as I was praying before the service, and I think this is the time to insert it. And you can read this both ways. He said, he's sweeping out and sweeping in. So read it the other way. He's sweeping in and he's sweeping out. Two very different things. But God is about his business in the world and in my life and in your life. And he won't rest until he accomplishes all that he has purposed and ordained for you and I and for his bride, his church. His eye is not going to be distracted from my life, your life, his bride, his church. There's a worldly expression that says, only the strong survive. I think there's even a song, isn't there, to that effect? But that's not so in the kingdom. Only the weak survive, actually, if you look at the scripture. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. And he said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My power, or his power, is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. So, for when I am weak, in other words, when I acknowledge my weak and my need of him, then I am strong or enter his strength. Isaiah 40, verses 29 to 31, we all should know this well. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. And moving over to verse 31, yet those who wait for the Lord, the Amplified renders that those who expect, look for, and hope in him will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. And if you know anything about eagles, they ride the current effortlessly. Even though the currents are raging and they're very powerful up in the upper atmosphere, the eagle just spreads its wings. Church, it's time for you to spread your wings. Time for you to get out of the nest, the comfort of the nest, and start spreading your wings and entering into his strength. He won't leave you hanging. He'll come to your aid when you and show himself mighty and strong when you need him. But for our part, Hebrews 12:1-3, we need to set aside, lay aside everything, every encumbrance, the scripture says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So we need to, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on this, on your understanding of what you see. There's no faith. If you can understand it, there's no faith involved. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, look to him, acknowledge him. Then he will make your path straight or direct your path. The king is preparing the way. Are you going to go the way he leads? That's $1 million question today. Will you say, where you lead, I will follow? Number three, in partnering with him as he prepares the way, depend on his revelation, verse 27 in our text. Removing of those things that can be shaken so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. You know, when the dust settles, after all the confusion, after all the noise, after all the disruption, you're going to see really what was going on. And that applies to circumstances in your life, my life, the church, the world, in politics and government. He's involved in every aspect of our society. And so there's a shaking going on. Anyone who says there isn't needs a wake-up call, so to speak. Depending on his revelation in the midst of the shaking. Psalm 61:2, I call to you and my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's your vantage point. In him. In Christ alone I put my trust. In Christ the solid rock I stand. Everything else is sinking sand. 2 Corinthians 3:16-17. Whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. I would say it this way, that which hides or obscures God's revelation for you in any given circumstance in your life. The veil is taken away when we turn to him. Now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You know, there's no doubt that the world is changing. And we have to change with it according to God's direction, God's leading of his Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 7:31. The form of this world is passing away. And I would say it this way, the world is being transformed for his kingdom purposes. And it's up to you and I to pay attention and to recognize and then respond and move into that where God is leading by his Spirit. A couple of scriptures to study. I'm not going to read them. Isaiah 65:17 is creating a new heaven and a new earth, that scripture says. And Romans 8:19-21 talks about the revealing. The world is groaning for the revealing of the sons of God. The world is waiting for our coming out party. And I don't mean sexually. I'm talking spiritually. For us to come out and stand for righteousness, Stand for the Lord. Speak up when there's things that aren't right. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? So we need to walk in faith, not by sight, and He will lead us in His everlasting way. Psalms 139, verse 24. He reveals to heal. And so when something is out of sync with his plan or His purpose, He has to deal with that. He can't allow it to stand in the way for what he knows by His will and by His word will be accomplished. And so there's a healing of sorts that takes place. And it could be physical healing or emotional, or you fill in the blank. But there's always a purpose when God reveals something. And we need to depend on that ongoing revelation for guidance and direction. You know, gone are the days when I make my own decisions without Him. That's disaster. That's train wreck material for crash and burn. You have to be asking Him, not just about life's most important decisions, but other things as well in everyday life. He is conducting or orchestrating a royal flush, ultimately to prepare for His second coming. And He's preparing, He's doing a deeper work in you and I in this whole process. Number four, in partnering with Him as He prepares the way, honor Him with our attitude of gratitude. It says there in verse 28, show gratitude. Since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude. You know, we have to develop a deeper appreciation for what God is doing. You know, it's not just, you know, He wants us to be involved. He wants to use us in this process. He doesn't want us to be on the sidelines and watch the parade go by. He wants us to be participants in what He's doing. He wants to use us in what He's doing and where He's leading. And if we're not grateful, if we start grumbling and complaining and get sour about when things don't go our way, it's going to obscure our vision. Our spiritual vision is going to be, it will be like trying to see things with one eye instead of two. You lose the focus. I was thinking of the song by Don Moen, "Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He has given Christ His Son." Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. It should be obvious to those around us that we are so grateful. You know, when I look at my home, my family, my health, just put anything in that blank there. We have to show how grateful we are for His care. We can't miss, He doesn't miss a detail. You understand? He does not miss a thing. We used to say that about my mother. We couldn't get away with anything. my siblings and I. But I have a Father who doesn't miss a thing. Amen? You have a Father, a loving Father, that doesn't miss a thing. Gratitude opens doors of revelation and service. Think about that. When we're in the right mindset, when God speaks and God opens a door, we recognize it and we walk through it. And He gets the praise and the glory. James 1:25 talks about not being forgetful hearers, but being effectual doers. Doing, putting the word into practice. You know, Rich was sharing a little bit about that, about truth seekers. It's not, you know, truth isn't for head knowledge. It needs to make that transition down to the heart and then find expression in our life decisions, what we say, how we act, what we do, how we respond to adversity rather than reacting to adversity. And Andrew is going to be sharing, I think that's his first topic Friday night, hardship, react or respond. So appropriate for the time we're living in. So we need to honor Him in all we think, do, and say, and then He will honor us. And the two support scriptures there, Daniel 11:39, which says that if we acknowledge Him, He will honor us. And New Testament, John 12:26, talks about serving Jesus, and then the Father will honor us. And finally, number five, in partnering with Him as He prepares the way with His royal flush, cry out for fresh grace to serve Him. I don't know about you, but yesterday's grace is not sufficient for tomorrow's challenge. That's what I've found out. I need more grace. I need grace for tomorrow, and whatever grace I have for today is not going to get me there. So I need a fresh infilling, a fresh understanding of His grace. Philippians 3:3. That word in our text, Hebrews 12:29, it says, offer to God an acceptable service. In other words, what God expects, what's reasonable for Him to expect. And see, all comparison with somebody else, that falls to the wayside, because God's only interested, you are responsible for the revelation that God gives you, not the revelation He gives somebody else. Are you with me? You are accountable for what God shows you, what God reveals, the understanding that He gives you. And so don't worry about somebody else's ministry or somebody else's call, or you know, how come he or she gives a prophetic word and I don't? Doesn't matter. What matters is responding to the revelation that He gives you. And so that scripture, Philippians 3:3, translates that word service as worship. Philippians 3:3, who worship or serve in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. It won't get you very far. Yes, we have gifts. Yes, we have abilities. But I have found and experienced when I reach the end of my ability and God breathes upon it, a whole other thing begins to happen. It's called the anointing. It's called the move of the Holy Spirit. Cry out for fresh grace to serve Him. Grace enables you to do and serve in ways you're unable to in your own strength. Romans 12, 1 and 2 speaks to this, speaking of presenting yourselves, which is your spiritual service of worship and being transformed. You know, God, you shouldn't be content with where you are today. You should want what God has for you tomorrow and next week and next month and next year. And that's particularly appropriate in this season. If we pay attention, if we do a spiritual inventory every day, we'll be right on track. God will speak to us, he'll guide us, he'll direct us in the way in which we should go. And the scripture says, when we stray to the right or to the left, we hear a word from behind us, this is the way, walk ye in it. And Romans 5:2, through Jesus we have attained an introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And so I think God wants to, it's eluding me, but something that's always changing. I don't know what the word for that is, but it's not that God's grace is always the same, I guess. It's our understanding that changes. Our understanding of God's grace needs to change. And that's what I've been finding, in particularly in these last 10 years, I would say, of my walk with the Lord. I'm saying, wow, grace is a lot more than I thought it was. I mean, it was awesome. What my understanding before was, wow, that's awesome. But my understanding today is, wow, that's awesome. So it's grace that enables us to stand and face tomorrow. So we need to go deeper, or I even should say we should allow him to take us deeper. Take our hands off the steering wheel. and put him in the driver's seat and allow him to do the driving and take us where he wants to take us. Take us deeper to a greater revelation and experience of this grace in which we stand. He's preparing the way, but we need to follow his lead. We can't just expect God's going to do it all and we can just sit back and let him do it. No. That's what following him is all about. That's what carrying the cross is all about. It's walking through things with him, in his strength, in his grace, in his power. As you allow him to lead you, this is how you will gain a deeper appreciation and understanding of his love and his grace for you. That's available to you to draw upon every single day and in every single circumstance. Are you afraid of change? You can't be afraid of it because it's going to come, like it or not. You have to embrace it. You have to... Oh, I just got something. Yesterday's comfort zone is tomorrow's stepping stone. Hot off the press. So, don't be afraid of the royal flush. Don't be afraid of him. Have faith. He knows where he's going. He knows what he's doing. And he is preparing the way. God bless you.